Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Can you do me just a young favor? Just a small clip of us sitting here all around the table.
Like this.
Yeah, just so you catch the vibe that's going on. Yeah.
This is about to go down. Real chats.
About to go down.
Testing, testing. 1, 2,
real 1, 2, 1, 2. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we get into it?
We're jumping straight in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Welcome.
Welcome to another episode of Quite the Ordinary Podcast. It's me, your boy, Earth2Big, a.k.a. the Artful Dodger, a.k.a. the Big Stepper, a.k.a. the Governor. Rich Daddy Kwan. Shout out to your baby mums. I got my co-host here with me. Talk to him.
We got Chunky Harry in the house. No AKs. Everyone knows that already.
No AKs.
No AKs. Because now we are...
Yeah, lit.
We're not for the streets anymore. And therefore, I'm actually a church boy now, guys. I've been going to church.
We're all church boys, yeah, bro.
No. I've seen your behavior, but...
Dude...
Are you hot or cold? Let me ask the question.
I'm hot.
You're hot?
I'm hot, bro. Oh,
okay. We'll see you later. But yeah, no AKs. Chunky Harry's here in the house. I'm kind of lit, actually, because we started a bit early.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say the guest's name, but he made me do something that I don't usually do. It involves a lighter.
Stop spilling the tea, bro.
I'm just...
Oh, that? Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's my long intro.
Cool. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was very long.
But we've got no stranger to the show, you 100%. Know, a dear friend, one of the guys that believed in the show before we even had 5 subscribers. I remember, but we said this story. We met him at Never Rush.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the jump, you know, they were just vibes, you know, serious vibes. And we just clicked, man. And we've had him on, was it episode 2, 3?
Three.
And that was crazy, you know. But I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. We've got, he is an artist, motivational speaker, actor.
Model.
Come on. Jack of all trades. I mean, he was on Netflix on the show.
Artist manager.
Yeah, not artist manager. Yeah. You know, you're going to drop some bars. Like, yo, connect your phone, dog. No. Artist manager for one of the biggest up-and-coming artists right now, Pilar Lozi.
I'm actually going to add in their industry guru as well.
Industry guru. Facts, man. Hey. He's got his fingers in all the pies. You know what I'm saying? He's been doing this thing. And he has a story to tell us. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the podcasts where I just need to sit back and just bask, you know, in the presence. You know what I'm saying? And listen. You know what I'm saying? Get the tips. Get the ins and outs of everything. You know what I mean?
Before I say it again, I just wanna fact check.
Yeah,
you know, like what they do on podcasts and chill. It was episode 2.
Was it 2?
Yeah,
episode two.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay,
that's more stank on his name.
You guys on 31.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's more props to you, buddy. That's more props to you. Like that was even before we had 10 subscribers. But you know what I'm saying. And what else? And the Netflix joint.
What about it?
He was on Netflix as well. And he's going to chop that up with us today. We've got Kuzi in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no. Thank you, welcome back.
Listen,
I've been wanting to sit here.
Yeah, man.
I think I called you a couple of times.
Yeah. Thank you for coming through.
We're
man.
Here now.
Don't expect.
We're here now. We're here now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Shout out to you, my brother. No, how are you feeling, man? How are you good?
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good. I think I'm in a great space, you know. And we're strictly speaking peace-wise, you know. I think everything for me just right now feels like it's flowing.
Yeah.
The way it's supposed to, you know. Yeah. It's not always the way you planned it, but I can see that we're headed in the right direction.
Mm.
You know, and every day I'm reminded, like, okay. when it feels like you're in the dream, like you're living it now.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people think, you know, living the dream is actually getting there to where you see yourself going, but the whole process is the dream. So daily, I'm just taking it like that. So any signs that show that we're heading the right direction is a great day for me.
Facts.
Yeah.
I heard a quote recently that once you master peace, your life becomes a masterpiece.
There we go.
Bars.
That's it. Oh, those are bars.
Drop
life bars.
A masterpiece, man. Yeah. But one thing I've really been wanting to get into is just like your genesis into your story, man. It's very inspirationalizing. I'm quoting that word. I stole it from Judy. But yeah, man, it's very inspirational.
If that's an actual real word or not. I haven't Googled
it's not
that.
A real word, but it's
real.
It's something that's stuck in my head.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? It might not be a real word, but the purpose of communication, the definition is getting the message across.
Yeah.
So if I understand what you're saying,
it is what it is.
It's a real word now. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Easy, man.
I got you.
So, man, you've got a deep story, man. We've been talking a lot. Like, we've been, like, we had a chat, like, 1 hour chat, like, even before the session. Yeah. And even with Pila, when you're here with Pila, like, we've had chats, man. And, yeah, man, you're one person I really, really, really wanted to tap in with and get to know, like, the ins and outs, your story, what made you who you are.
Yeah.
And where you came from, you know, like from the roots. I remember I see like on your Facebook, you talk a lot about the school you grew up in, the school that you started at.
Yeah.
And all that way, like, I mean, it was a rough school, bro. There were no windows or something. I don't know, but it was a hectic thing, you know?
Yeah.
But very, very humble beginnings.
Yeah.
To where you are now, like making noise in the industry and doing your thing, man. So please walk us through, man. The mic is yours. Walk us through your journey.
All right. Well, where are we starting? It's a long ass. So what do you want to focus on right now? Like the school part that you saw? Because that is the earlier.
In the beginning.
That is the earlier stage.
Yeah.
I think if I could just give a brief thing. My name is Kudzai Murerua. Born in Zimbabwe, grew up here. You know, father got a job, came out here in 92. Yeah.
Shit, okay.
My father got a job that said Brainiac. My dad was always school. So even varsity out in Zim, I think it was a year when he was like the smartest guy in Zim, you know. So of course he's from the rural, my parents' background, two rural kids literally live next door to each other. You know, that's how they met. So they grew up together. Like I mentioned, my dad was a heavy academic, so
yeah.
He moved up, you know, they moved to the city, moved to Harare, did well there. Then a company this side, you know, found him. And then that's how we moved over here in 92. All so right. I've been here. So nursery school, I was out here. Fledglings there. Shout out to Fledglings.
You still remember your nursery school?
My brother, I remember my details of life.
I remember my nursery school. Yeah. I remember this. That's
bro,
deep,
I went to Yellow Rose Nursery School in Harare, bro.
You don't remember yours? Remember
Yellow Rose? You went to Yellow Rose? I went to Yellow Rose.
Nah, that's bullshit, bro.
I did.
Not a child.
Yellow Rose.
Yellow Rose, bro.
I went to Yellow Rose.
My nigga. I'm being for real. Shit, I told you we don't know each other.
I went to fucking Yellow Rose, bro.
Oh, shit. Shout out.
As a kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, where did you go?
Oh, I was here. Fledglings.
Okay.
It was nursery school just by Ramberg thing. It's gone now, though. But I drive past there because I live around the area.
Yeah.
I still see it. Then in primary school, went to Rampok Primary. Nice. Grade 5. That's when I went into the chapter that you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Grade 5, that's when my parents took me to Zim. So it was a rural school in a place called Mashingo. It's called Kwachiwi. All right. So initially what had happened was I growing up, you know, I mean, black parents, and especially when I look at the background of my parents, rural kids, the way they grew up and the way you're growing up is totally different.
You know?
So there was a stage when I was a kid, like grade 4, where I just felt there was like a little rift between me and my dad. Like we didn't connect somewhere. So I remember what I was told differently. I remember driving to school one day with my mother. I was in grade 3, 4. And I mentioned something along the lines of me going for a year to Zim where they grew up.
Because,
you know, my grandmother and everyone are still there, you know, the farm in Zim. So I was like, maybe if I go there, you know, grow up how he did for a bit, maybe him and I could, you know, develop a certain bond.
This happened, what, grade 4?
Yeah, grade 4.
Jeez, grade 4. Actually, that's...
Yeah.
Crazy to reflect like that at that age.
Bro.
It's insane.
Bro.
Facts.
So it happened. You know, then the next year, I was quite chilly, staying with my uncle and aunt, my dad's younger brother, staying with them. So it was the usual, like, you know, every December we'd go back to some, you know, family, go to the farm, everyone meets up, go back to our homes. That one was different because for the first time, I saw them driving away. Usually it was, you know, I'm in the car saying bye to everyone, getting back to South Africa. But for the first time, I watched them drive out and it's a dust road. You just watch the dust road go up and you're like, okay. And I remember that was the first time it hit. I was like, okay, I'm here now. You know, and I think that's the first time in my life when I'd been alone, where it's like you have to...
Alone as in what case? Like,
as in I'm out with my mother, father, sisters, the family. You know,
okay.
Grade five.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd been staying with my family. But it's the first time now where I'm staying with, as much as I know my relatives, I've never stayed with them, especially without my parents, you know. So watching them go, I remember it was just a wave of, I can't even describe what the feeling was, but it was like, okay, we're here. Then moved to, so like I said, I wanted to stay at where they grew up with my grandmother, but they felt it was a bit too harsh. So they took me to my uncle. He was a teacher. My aunt was a nurse. So we actually stayed in the clinic, you know, the community clinic.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the nurses get their own houses and all of that. We stayed there. It was aunt.
Courtesy of your mom or dad?
That's my dad's younger brother. That's who I was staying with.
Okay, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Shout out to Tawanda Charles Murelio. Rest in peace, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I stayed with them, then went to a local school that was close by. It was like 5Ks away, which was another eye opener at the time, you know, walking 5Ks to
school. About to ask that question. I'm just like,
5Ks is a lot.
Yeah, bro.
I thought 1K ain't nothing, bro. And I was like,
Yeah, because you were fit as shit.
Yeah, I was fit as shit that time, bro. I was like 110.
Yeah,
it wasn't good. It wasn't a good period. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's 5Ks, but you get used to it. Like, I found... Throughout the year, it felt like we used to jog from school, you know, because obviously there'd be a group of us. Everyone lives in different areas.
Yeah, so you guys kind of meet up.
So from school, you'll leave. There's like 20 of you. You're leaving. But as you're going, some people are dropping off, right? He's home. So by the time I would get home, maybe there's like maybe 5 of us left type of thing. But it was fine, man. Like, those were the experiences. You know, I can still remember my first walk to the school to go see the school. You know, realizing, oh, snap, I'm walking 5Ks. Everything was new to me. You know, and that's the reason why I say to a lot of people when I speak about that year, that that's the year I feel like my eyes opened up to life.
Yeah.
You know, because prior to that, that was like 94. I remember like around that time, primary school.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of 6 black kids in the grade.
Yeah.
You know, but because you're a kid, you don't know what's happening. That's just for you. So that's just what the world is.
You just know you need to go to school.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do, and that's it.
Yeah. You don't even question. Well, I didn't question. Like, why are there so few of us? Yeah. I don't know. That's just what the life is. At that age, you don't question. It's just, okay, I guess that's what life, I guess everywhere is like this, you know? So you can imagine going from that to now a school where it's just black. Yeah. Fully black, you know? So almost every moment of that year felt like an eye-opener, you know, where you had to sit, look and reflect at things. Like, oh, why is that like that? Why is that like that? And I think that was a very important stage, especially at that age, you know, to kind of, you know, realize that your reality is not the only reality out there, you know. I mean, we speak about the walking 5Ks to school. Back in SA at Rampark, I mean, we stayed close. I still walked. But it was very close. And I mean, even the environment was different.
Meters.
You know? For you, it was almost like walking is almost like...
Walking was cool, but not 5Ks.
5Ks, bro.
It didn't seem like a struggle, bro.
Yeah. That dust.
Yeah.
That's the time when you carry two pairs of shoes, bro.
Bro.
Yeah, there was the dust. It was full
one
dust
road. One pair to walk and one pair to go.
Full on dust road all the way there. And like I said, it's rural areas. So it's literally... just farmland, trees, baboons, everything.
I didn't walk 5Ks, but I've seen that shit.
So like our school was on top of, well, not even was, it is, on top of like a little mountain. And then it was surrounded by, so even the view was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And different to what we're used to, you know, completely different to everything. You know, and I remember like I said, 100% black, you know, the closest thing, it used to be a joke back then when I came back to SA, like, you know, the closest thing you had to like to a white person was a person with albinism, you know, because I remember when I got to the school, it's a joke, but that's the reality. When people hear it, it's a joke, but it's like, that was the reality, you know.
The lighter skinned nigga in the room.
You know what I mean?
Are you the Drake?
So yeah, I got there, and that was the setup. And even the things about, like I'm saying, the reality checks that were happening, you know, obviously because the background I was coming from, you know, my parents could afford the uniform and everything. So they made sure I had everything that I was supposed to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you arrive at school and you're in class with people wearing pajamas or wearing this and that.
When you're here?
No, oh, this is in Zim.
Oh, in Zim. Yeah. Pajamas. Shit.
Yeah, you're in the rural areas, bro. This is real life. You know what I'm saying? So in that moment in grade five, where as something like that, if I was back in SA, that would be a laughing matter.
Yeah.
You know, because it's foreign to us.
It's like, what the hell is that? It's like, why are you coming in pajamas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I thought that was a rich thing. Like,
what?
Coming in pajamas.
Nah. No.
I know. I did rural as well.
Yeah.
But we all had to wear our uniform.
So why would it be a rich thing if you're coming in pajamas?
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, you're like, hey, bro, I'm bowling, bro. I'm coming in my pajamas. You know what I'm saying?
Bowling.
And my Crocs. No, I'm just thinking, like, I didn't know that was. I had no option, so I had to come in my pajamas. No, that was different. I thought there was an option of coming in your pajamas
at least
and uniform.
Now you know you grew up with privilege.
Yeah,
nah,
yeah, you're privileged,
nah,
bro.
It wasn't.
Now you did.
It was.
Yeah, because I guess it's how it's. I mean, look, yeah. that's the perspective you took, right? But for me, it was an immediate understanding of what is happening. Mm. Like, oh no, it's because people can't. And also the connection to my rural background, where my parents are from, my cousins were still there.
Yeah.
I was a bit clued up in terms of having and not having and all of those things.
You knew the ins and outs.
You know? Correct. So there was just a whole lot of new things, long drop toilets, because that's what we had there. You know? Long drop toilets, assembly under the tree. What are they called? Mnyi. Mm. Right? The tree was called Mnyi. They had these little fruits. Yeah. Right? Just things like that. So that was that year. There was just so many experiences. We wouldn't even finish all of those.
I think the difference for you then was the fact that you had a reference point in SA compared to Zim.
Mm. Compare.
So now you can get there and you can be like, actually, this is... Yeah, so that's why it's easy for you to realize, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There's a difference in environment for that.
Like last year, I was dealing with Megan for Leon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This year, I'm with Clarissa Mzinda. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know? Yeah. And these are real names, by the way.
No,
these are real names.
I know. I've
Shout
been
out
there.
To Megan and,
I've been
and
there.
Clarissa.
I've been there. I remember I went to a hella rich school.
Yeah.
And then from there, I went to a very poor school in a year. So I know the stark difference. And then from that poor school, back to that rich school. So it was culture shock.
It's a culture shock.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're explaining now, for me, Rampart Primary Government School to Masunda South School, by the way, that's the name of the school, Masunda South School, which is in the rural areas. And that was just for a year. And then I come back and then I'm at St. Peter's Prep Private School.
Dude,
so I went through.
That's exactly that. Me, bro.
Yeah.
Going from Eaglesville, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I know Eaglesville,
Eaglesville. And then going to Macheke Primary School.
Yeah.
Right, and my Czech primary school, like, if you know about Czech,
yeah,
it's like dust, bro.
Yeah,
like no windows in your classroom, kind of thing for a year.
Yeah,
you know, having my niggas from Eaglesville calling me, oh, nigga, where you at? And then going back to Eaglesville,
yeah,
it was crazy, but but is that where that whole thing came from? I remember, like, I saw on your Facebook, you met your teacher. Is that a teacher from here or from back then?
The teacher,
the white woman.
Oh no, that's from here. That's from high school now.
That's
St. Peter's, because after St. Peter's Prep, I went to St. Peter's College.
All right, shout out
Miss Diabru, drama teacher.
The one that inspired the dream and to get into what you get into now, you're into now.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're on Smart Casuals. I mean, you know what I mean? Netflix.
Talk about transition.
Life is crazy.
Now you're on top of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Now you're doing your thing. Okay, so...
Wait, before we go, I'm so sorry. I know you're going to go into that question, but I'm curious to know, obviously based on the fact that I think you're very... You sort of could see certain things. That's why grade four, you'd be able to be like, yo, I want to build my relationship with my father. Let me go to where you are, right? Random question. When you're walking to school, what is it that you're actually thinking of, you as an individual?
As in when I was walking to school those days.
So like, as in, I'm not talking about, oh shit, it's a 5K walk, etc., right?
Yeah.
Because I think always at a certain age, we sort of like, we already start dreaming.
We
start dreaming. So we might zone out, etc. What were you thinking of at that age?
And I think you're talking about like imagination. Where was my mind at?
Yeah. after this 5Ks, I'm going to school, I'm going to pass, and after I pass, this is where I'm going to be in my life.
Oh, didn't think that far at
not
all.
Not at all, yeah?
Not at all. I think even when you first asked it, now I was in the moment, yeah. You know, because everything was new. Like yeah. I'm saying, even the trip from the farm to where my uncle and them live, which is my cousin, Kuda Mrerwa, he used to take that trip, right? Yeah. So I was with him, would catch the bus. What's the bus? Munga. Yeah. Right, catch the bus, and one thing I do remember is leaving Mashingo and going to Chivi. There was this lake on the left, and I remember seeing like antelope and stuff out there. And for me, this is all because I'm a city boy. You know, this is all wow. It's fascinating.
It's an experience.
The whole year was an experience. You know, so like literally, I lived in the moment the whole time. There was never mind thinking about my parents. Yeah, I think the only time I thought of my parents and kind of cried a bit was when I first came back for holidays to SA. Yeah. Then I had to go back because I remember it was the first night. I remember being back in my room, back in thingy, and feeling down. You know? I remember I cried a bit. But other than that, that was it. Next day, I was back to playing soccer, back to the schedule. You know, so that year, I was literally in the moment. And I think in terms of my imagination has always been wild, and it's weird. I mean, I'm the firstborn. You know, I'm the only son. Got two. I'm three younger sisters, and. Hey, at that time when I was younger,
that's best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
best buds. That's it, bro. Dad's best friend.
So assistant parent. So even when I was younger, my mom will even, she always talks about how my imagination was, I've always been crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even, like, yeah, but I've always enjoyed that side. Yeah, you know, when I'm in that zone, I have the most fun in life. You know, when I allow myself to escape into that world.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though at that age, I didn't know what it was, but I was there. So I would watch the wrestlings and whatnot. So my mom would talk about how sometimes, you know, we weren't getting action figures. You know, I didn't come from that setup where there's the new yo-yo, you're getting it. I was always that kid who'd see the new stuff coming out, but, you know, I wouldn't even go ask my parents. I almost knew because I came up with my parents. So almost we always felt like, we can't afford that or whatnot. So I would never stress about it. But I would find other means. Like she'd say, my love for wrestling, I used to take shoes, like different shoes, maybe a high top or what. And those were two guys fighting. And my mom would talk about that. Yeah,
I used to do that shit.
And I'd be there fighting. And for me, I'd be having so much fun because my imagination is active. These are real things happening,
that's,
you know?
Hectic, bro. Yeah.
So, and I remember that clearly, you know, and then it upgraded to my sister's dolls.
You guys talk about
He-Man and you
Royal Rumble.
We used to take fucking, what you call this? Cereal boxes.
Yeah.
Right? And then we'll draw men, like,
yes,
and then cut them out, and those would be our,
dude, we're showing our age, bro.
Bro,
I used to find fucking shoes, but like, exactly what you like, even cut, what's this, crayon packs, bro,
yeah,
fighting and shit,
yeah. No, but look, crazy, I think my those things really helped us shape our imaginations,
right? That's where it actually started, like, for me. That's where creativity started. I had to literally create shit in my mind.
Yeah.
And make this is a, I didn't have this Batman action figure. I had to make sure, I had to act
and
like
see
this.
Batman
this
in that.
Was my, you know, my Batman, was the Batmobile, and this was Joker, you know what I mean? And the Converse, and, you know, and create that shit. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I think another thing that helped, especially with the entertainment side, which is why it's almost like full circle, is my dad was a heavy Michael Jackson fan.
Okay,
like,
nice,
serious. Yeah. So he had the tape. I think it was, which show was it? The one in Bucharest. One of the big ones where he leaves in the jetpack.
Yeah.
At the end of it.
Yeah,
that
I see,
one.
I see, yeah.
You seen that one, right?
Remember the name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, I remember Michael Jackson was something else. But
bro.
Yeah.
So my dad used to watch that religiously.
Yeah.
So I would, that was actually the only thing that brought us together, where we would just be, like I said, we didn't have that kind of relationship growing up, right? I was closer to my mom's type of thing. And so when he would watch that, I'd be on the side of the TV with a jersey on my head, obviously for the long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be copying the moves, you know? And then years down the line, like before, I mean, we didn't mention it in the intro, but I was a professional dancer at some point, you know, in high school. We even started a whole dance group.
Yeah, we talked about it, yeah.
All of that. But that all comes from that, because I loved dance, but I used to just dance for myself at home, in front of the TV, watching Michael Jackson. And obviously, it evolved to Usher came through.
Yeah.
Then I'm more Usher, you know, the Chris Browns came through. By that time, I was already a dancer myself, you know. So that was the connection with it. And I was also thinking imagination, like I said, the hair, with what I felt like I was, you know. So, yeah, I think the childhood really shaped my imagination a lot, and I was always destined to move this route. And also being someone who's diagnosed with ADHD, you know. I've tried the corporate, so being a, I can't do it. Because my mind
runs, bro. Yeah.
My mind goes, and my mind needs change.
Yeah. And it depresses you.
It does.
Yeah.
Like the same routine every day.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I've never been more depressed than I have been when I walk corporate.
Yeah.
And that's why I never go back. Like I can.
Yeah.
I'm a king in that industry. Yeah. I've done that shit, bro. Yeah. Yeah,
but you can't tell me nothing.
But I was always, and I could always see it from the girls I dated.
Yeah.
Like they would always tell me, dude, you're so fucking depressed. Like, and I was depressed. And the only time I was actually happy was when I was fucking suspended over some bullshit, bro.
So
then I got like 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
And bro, then I come alive. You know, like, hey, shit, you've never been like this. I'm like, wow. So it was those things, yeah.
But yeah, man, I get you. I get you, man. I'm still in it. I kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, look, everyone to their thing.
No, corporate now is different. Back then it was one thing.
Before COVID.
And probably it's the industry that you're in. iOS, like.
Yeah, tech, I think. Yeah. There's different tech with the industry that you're in.
Yeah. As well. Tech, you can go in on your fucking Converse, bro, and all that shit. It's more. Yeah. But and now.
I think for me, I'm very obsessed with the next creating and. You know, the norm bores me. Not to say, I mean, if it works, it works. But I believe there's always still gaps. There's always gaps. That's how the world has evolved to now. You know, there was a time there was no iPhone.
Yeah.
There was no car. There was no lights. Someone had to believe in next.
In that shit. Yeah, that
there's
man.
Something more than what we're looking at right now.
Shout out to you for believing us.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the same. I mean, with you guys, like you mentioned earlier on when we were talking about this, when we came through with Pila for the interview, just listening to you guys or how you're talking about your reason for having this podcast was what got me the most, you know, because I feel with anything that you're doing, your reason is the most important thing, because that's the difference with you stopping or continuing.
That is
right. If you don't know your reason, you're just doing it. If it's just for a paycheck, it's easy to just drop off. You know, you're doing for the girls or whatever. But I think if the reason is deep enough and bigger than you, I believe in the reason being bigger than you.
Facts.
You realize, even when you're down, you realize it's not about you.
It's not about you. Yeah.
Delivering this product or whatever vision you have is going to serve so many people. You keep going.
Yeah,
definitely.
Man.
And I believe
that's proper. That's the only thing that keeps you going, man. When you wake up in the morning and you feel like, hey, man, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
When you feel like you have some accountability to the audience.
A responsibility.
Then it changes everything.
100%.
I got there round about the time we got to their episode.
Yeah.
That's when I got there.
What were you feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, shit, but this is now bigger than us.
Yeah.
And now, bro, I literally could not give up. There were times when, you came, even my brother, and they were like, dude, nah, we gotta go. You know what I mean? But, you know, shout out to you guys. But, all right. So now tell us about how now you're in, like, when you started, like, what can I say? What do you call it? The horizon. When you reach the horizon and you realize, okay, this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to make it. And then obviously meeting Pila and going into what you're doing now, man.
Yeah.
Bring us into the present, basically.
I think when you're speaking on when I realized what I wanted, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a long time. I think I only realized when I was in grade 11. Grade 11 is when I realized, okay, I want to take this path. Because up until there, it was just the normal part that was laid out, varsity, whatnot. But one thing I always knew is like, that's not me though. You know, I just didn't know where it was. You know, up until I started managing a hip hop crew for my school, you know.
Grade 11, bro.
When I look back, I guess I'm going to write a book because when I look back at a lot of these things, it's also like, why were you thinking like, why were you?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because in grade 11, you're probably thinking, shit, matric, okay, I want to get out of here. You're already looking at, you know, how do we actually start something? How do I help you start something? How do I help you grow something?
But you see, even with school, like I said, I was never into school like that. Not even like, I really do believe that if I was someone who was just dedicated to that, I could have done it.
Yeah.
But my mind already knew There was somewhere it really vibrated properly.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't here. You know, so we do school, but
I was always music in the, though. Was it music? Because
at the time I wasn't. At that time I was a dancer. That's the first thing I ever did in the industry.
Did you let me ask? Mm. Did you want to be a musician?
No, I wouldn't say that. And it's weird because obviously the Michael Jackson Usher thing.
Yeah.
But it was there, but it wasn't that strong. Like the want for that wasn't that strong, which is why when the management thing came up, and it was random because I was already a dancer, so I already found my lane per se, you know. But I also knew the dancing is not forever. Mm. I could feel that now. I'm not passionate about long term. You know, we're doing something now. We're creating because we created something there.
Having fun with it, basically.
Yeah, having fun with, and also realizing that we just created something out of nothing. Mm. Because at that time, I mean, people were dancing, but there was no like commercial hip hop crews that were known, right? So we started a group called Clinch. Clinch Crew, right?
Clinch Crew, yeah.
Then we went on, you know, we had our own competition, Masters of Rhythm. We even got our own TV show on Vuzu. You know, it grew into something. And these were high school kids, yeah. So we had a whole TV show, Masters of Rhythm.
Yeah. I know that name from somewhere. That's on, like, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know that when they hear Masters of Rhythm, then, okay, we know, you know, the dance competition. That was that. But that literally started with a group of kids in high school who believed. And it was around the time of when You Got Surf came out.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone wanted to be a dancer.
Oh, you got surf.
You know? everyone wanted to be a dancer. Oh,
hey, bro, my mixer name was Lil Saint, bro.
Oh, are you serious?
I swear to you.
I was what? Poster Boy.
I swear to you. My mixer name was Lil Saint because that little kid.
The one that they did for Lil Saint.
I'm like, shit. It was Lil Saint that became Baby Saint.
Yeah.
Bro, I swear to you.
Yeah. No, fine times. So yes. I mean, so I think at that time everyone wanted to be a dancer, right? That was the end thing. But for some, yes, please, yeah. But for some of us, you know, we'd been dancing before that.
Yeah,
like it was just in the room. In fact, not even just the room. My parents used to throw a lot of parties.
Yeah,
like when we were growing up, you know, they always used to host a lot. So you'll find that a lot of times, when it's entertainment, all the kids would go play in that room, and then they'll tell us, "Oh, go make a routine and come back." And I'd always be in the front. You know, and I'm always leading, and I always felt alive. You know, this since we were kids, like grade three, whatnot. So grew up doing that. So when You Got Served came, I was still dancing for myself.
Yeah.
Then I remember a specific day. I think it was like a few days before Valentine's Day, and we were gonna at St. Peter's College.
Valentine's.
Yeah, at St. Peter's College, we're gonna have a you know the dance like a Valentine's ball.
St. Peter's. Right.
So.
Shout out.
They were I think it was the day before. They were now setting up everything in the hall. So playing music, and you know, there was some. You know, some of us used to stay after school. We stay until like 5 and get picked up later. You know, so we're all in there, and then I started Harlem Shaking, and I was just there with girls. You know, and they started screaming.
It used to be a thing, you know, Harlem Shake.
It was crazy. So you know, I did the Harlem Shake, and they started screaming. Now for me, that was the first time I'd ever danced for people outside of my family or family friends. The response for me, I was like, wait, that's the one. That's the scream.
That's the one for me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So from there, I mean, they were excited about it. So now we'd go to other parties, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd find I always be that person. You know, girls would be like, oh, they'll make a circle for me to go do the Harlem Shake or what. So it became my thing.
Mm.
So that's kind of how I met my fellow crew members. We had my friend, Sizwe Mangazana.
Yeah.
It was his 18th. So we're all there, you know, people from different schools and whatnot. So there was this group of guys like, oh yeah, these guys would dance. I'm like, okay, where they at? They're there. These little did I know, these guys had routines and everything locked.
These guys have been doing
it. Yeah, so they started going. It was Magnolia Simba and Junior Kayembe.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. My brothers. So they started doing their routines. Obviously, I'm like, what? So everyone's like, jump in. Now I'm also one of those people, I don't dance on command.
Yeah.
You can't tell me dance and I'm there. I need to feel it. So I declined. Then when I was feeling it, when they were busy with other things, I started doing my dancing.
Yeah.
You know? And then the guys saw me, they're like, oh, okay. Then Simba approached me, he's like, yo, we're starting this crew, you should come join us. And it was, who else was there? Lala. I don't know if you know Lala Hiriyama.
Oh, she was,
yeah. Lala was part of our crew, bro.
No way.
She's part of, Lala was there.
She's kind
of
nice, though.
Asian persuasion. Asian persuasion.
Shout out to you.
Shout out, Lala. So, yeah, that's how it kickstarted. Then they were like, oh, come, we're doing practice at Highlands North.
Yeah.
Come through on Friday. Went through, and that's how things started, you know. And even that, there's so many chapters, man. Even that starting. And like I said, there's no other dance crews. We're just some dreamers. But before that, I mean, we did that. And I remember our first performance. In our heads, we're thinking, you got served. That's all we could see. Yeah, yeah, that environment, that atmosphere. You got
served.
You know,
it was a different
thing. Who was the star and you got served? It was
Omarion,
right? Yeah. It wasn't the other, the white boy. No, that's
now you're thinking of,
that's another movie. That's, I can see the guy, the biker looking dude. Blonde dude.
No,
he's thinking of Step Up.
Yeah, Step Up.
Oh, okay, no. Oh, you think of Channing Tatum?
Not Channing.
No, the other guy.
They came after.
The dancer, the Moose. Little kid, Moose.
That's Step Up too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. So I remember our first. So we used to practice every Friday. You know, and at the time I was also a basketball player and all of that. After practice, go to Highlands. We practice. So now we're told we got a performance. So like I said, in our heads, we're seeing that whole setup of Do You people screaming, girls, everyone wailing. That's what we see.
Like, this is me, mama.
Yeah, like, you know, we made it. Yeah. And our first performance was at a club in town called Songwriters Club.
Okay.
Got there and it was just white. Like full on, like that you got served vibe was
this is not what we envisioned.
This is not what we saw. So when we got in there, obviously at first we were a bit bummed, like okay, it's not gonna be that energy. But then you start dancing and then you see the appreciation that was coming through.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember at the end of the day we're like, actually this was so much fun. That was our first performance. And then from there it just went to a point now we were performing at all the Matric dance after parties.
Sure.
So we're on tour, bro, like in high school. I remember getting picked up by the principal of Sandown.
Yeah.
Is it Sandown? Yeah, opposite McDonald's by Santon there. Okay, Rock and Roll McDonald's, that school there. Sandown, I had a test on Friday, but we were performing at their school. He waited for me outside. So afterwards, I remember just getting into the parking lot, jumping in his car.
Dropped you.
I felt like a rock star, man. I felt like a rock star. Yeah, then he drove me
first
to chauffeur school.
Drive, bro. He was like, yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, like, yeah, even that, I remember doing that performance, signing autographs. This is before, smartphones were, they were just on the, you know. Signing autographs. So we were literally living on that rock star type of thing. We had our own webs. This is before the Twitters, right? Mm. This is like what, 2005? Yeah. This is before Twitter and all of that. We had our own website. We created our own website so people could write comments, but you couldn't see who wrote it. So you haters would come there and say some other stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But it was just so much fun. Imagine we're in high school, bro. We've got this website with our faces on it.
Yeah.
And people can leave comments. So it became a real thing. And like I said, that was my thing. But I also knew that dancing is not it.
It, yeah. Mm. Right?
Then one day at school, I was a prefect in Matric. Mm. Then we had like a Matric assembly. And the Friday before, they'd had a talent show at school. So they asked some of the performers to, you know, just show the school what they did on Friday. There was a young man called Luyanda Goba, a.k.a. Truey Donatello.
Okay.
He went up, and I think he forgot his lyrics. But he carried on going. I didn't pick up that he like, forgot them, but I was impressed with what he was doing.
Now he's like freestyling, basically.
He's like freestyling, but he got through it, right? I didn't know he missed it. He told me afterwards.
Yeah.
But I was just impressed. There was just something about the energy. I was like, something there.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, I've never thought of managing anyone or whatever.
It's just you saw talent.
But in that moment, boom, it hit me. Then I went off to his backstage and I spoke to him. And then we started. Then we recruited a couple of other brothers as well. TK, Lesaona, Kuda, you know, formed a group called MVT, Most Valuable Team.
Yeah. Mm.
Right.
MVT.
MVT.
I love the acronyms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, then we went, we started doing that. So obviously I left school, varsity, we started doing shows and all that. I mean, we got to a point, and this is all independent, by the way, you know, got to a point where we opened up for Rick Ross in Cape Town. They gave us a whole bus. Cape Town.
Like Rick Ross, Rosé.
Yeah, 2010. Oh. When he came, 2010. Yeah, yeah. We open for Rick Ross.
Oh. That's crazy, right? Dog.
We opened up for Trey Songz as well.
Mm. He loves South Africa, by the way.
Tiger.
Yeah, he does.
Tiger. When Tiger came through, I remember, but I was too tired. I literally, do you know that I, for the Tiger show, and that was one of the first ones, if Tiger was the first person we did, actually, I was in Zim at that time.
Yeah.
I literally drove. And arrived here from Harare, imagine. I drove all the way from Harare, arrived in Joburg. Arrived in Joburg around 4.
Yeah.
And he was going to be on, what's this show? Live at Urban Brew Studios, where Bonang and them used to host and whatnot. So I literally drove, got home and showered and went straight to the. So I was tired, you know. Then we had a show that night with Tiger at a club in Rivonia. But the next day we were scheduled to fly to Cape Town with him as well.
Yeah.
And that's when he shot the BMF viral video that
Did
he shot.
Did they pay for all this shit?
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong, bro? But anyway, yeah.
It's the talent, brother. You know? It's so
we're not on that level yet, bro.
So unfortunately, that one, I was too tired. I couldn't wake up for the flight in the morning.
So you're like, nah, fuck.
So yeah. I missed that. I was like, you know. But there was a lot of opportunities. I mean, even Hype Magazine were nominated at the Hype Awards, the first ever Hype Awards.
Yeah.
I think they were at the
The dorm. First ever?
Yeah.
Nice.
Were nominated there. Hype Magazine Awards, yeah. They were at the Dome. We even performed there. And it was funny because we always used to want to perform at the Dome because heavily obsessed with Jay-Z. You know, Jay-Z, that's the guy, right? So we had gone to watch him perform at the Dome, you know, along with a lot of people, you know, the 50 Cents and all of them.
Yeah.
But it was always the thing in our minds that we want to perform there as well. I remember we used to call it Madison Square Dome. You know, one day we're going to make it to Madison Square Dome. You know? Yeah.
Madison.
You know, and we did it.
Yeah.
We did it. We got there. And there was just a whole lot of things. And on the dancing side was still going on as well. So I was doing both at the same time. You know, I was in Hype Magazine, performed on Backstage, the show. Remember the TV Backstage? Show Backstage? Yeah, with Losha Cooper. With Losha Cooper,
She with
actually,
the colored hun. Yeah.
She had us, we were her dancers. So there was a show, just showing. That was the first time my family in Zim could watch us.
What you mean? So what, on one of those episodes?
Like, yeah, there was like a live performance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there.
Bro, you know the way I used to watch Backstage, like properly. That's why I was like, okay, Losha Cooper. Then there was a guy with, what was his name, Vusi.
Ziggy.
Also.
There was a Ziggy.
Yeah, Ziggy was there with the
yeah with the dress. Yeah, with the curly hair. So that time, yeah. So for me, I used to watch it as well. So it was also like a, what, I'm here because we rehearsed for a while before that.
Yeah,
what, I'm going to rehearse with Losha Cooper, and then like I said, I'm a kid still, you know. But our dreams are just, I think, especially the dancing time. Really opened my mind up to the concept of creating something out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that has served me up until today. Because, I mean, there was a period, I mean, a lot of people can, you know, just to, the 20s are rough, you know, because you're discovering yourself. Life is not what you thought it was. Man. Just a whole lot of stuff. You're finding yourself, all of those things. But I'll tell you.
Now it's even in your 30s.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. And I think you that what happened to me at a young age with the clinch thing, you know, creating something and watching it grow into a TV show or a real competition, you're on TV and all of that, it helped me go through the dark times, you know, because we all know in the dark times you need something to believe in. And I still believed in what I had held on to since I was a kid. You know, as much as I didn't know exactly what the lane was, well, this time now I knew it was music, you know, because I believed in the artists that I was working with. So even when I was out in Zim, because I was staying in Zim now at some point during the years, you know, you're out there and you're thinking of what, you know, what you were doing in SA. Now you're in Harare, you know, you just, I liked it because it allowed me to step away from the environment I grew up in, which is, which means there's less pressure. You know, I don't have to go out there and be Donald, you know, the one that we use, the cornrows, the dancer, the one, you know, wants to be sexy all the time, you know. You know, I could have time to find myself. You know, because here it felt like every time you get out, you have to put the mask on.
You do.
You have to be Donald. You know, that's the only person they know, you know. So I moved to Zim. That was another episode as well. You know, it's all part of the, but I remember the times when I would still be promoting the music out there. So what I did when I got to Zim, because I didn't know anyone out there, I just knew that I wanted to get involved in the music side, somehow find who the players are, and God delivered. Like I said, you just have to believe in it and just put your energy into all of that.
Yeah.
Because next thing, I started meeting, you know, the likes of Ten Diamond, Take Fizzo, Junior Brown.
Yeah.
Those became my friends, you know. And up until the point where I could get Truie to be, to perform at the Zim Hip Hop Awards, which made him the first South African to perform at the Zim Hip Hop Awards. You know, these are small milestones, but for me, they meant a lot. That's why I said, like, on the journey, it shouldn't just be the big things.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's
bro,
the whole like thing. All the little things, all the big things.
Yeah. Even the little turns that happen, the little rights, lefts, and whatnot, acknowledge them for what they are and what part they play in you getting to where you're going, you know? So the way I looked at it, I was like, look, okay. First South African to perform at the Zim Hip Hop Awards. My brother, that's yours forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No one can take that.
No one can claim it.
No, no matter how big him, that's yours, right? And I mean, even the feeling of him when he flew me, he had never been out of South Africa, you know? He's here now. He's seeing bobos of, I mean, like posters of him in Harare driving around. You know, the love was great. Yeah. Studio sessions with Junior Brown and everyone, Ten Diamond. So it was a great experience. Even though I was still going through my own personal things, what kept me afloat was being able to deliver things like that. And once again, it comes back to what I was saying before, that it has to be bigger than you. You know, it wasn't about me. It was about him, because I believed in what he had. So my only thing that would satisfy me is seeing him where he needs to be. You know, which is the same thing with Pila. You know, that's where I'm at. Like, that passion, when I look, I was talking to my mom, I was talking about it, and I was like, in terms of my life, my longest relationship I've had is with my dreams.
Mm. Right. Hey,
you know, that's the longest relationship I've had. And
shout out to that.
You know,
dreamers. Yeah.
Shout out to the dreamers. I resonate
so heavily with that. Yeah.
So for me, it's like I've seen that the belief and effort and you know sacrifice I do for, I won't say do, it's not done.
Yeah.
I'm always going right. That I do for that, it comes back. I trust my dreams.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I trust my dreams because all they need for me is to play my part to appear. You know, whereas you know, with a human, you can, you know,
you can be like, "What's your dreams?" All they say is show up, bro.
Yeah,
and we got you from there.
You know what I mean? There's no, I know what you need from me. You know, I'm gonna play my part. You play a part, and that's beautiful. Even in a relationship with someone, in a romantic relationship, if you can get something like that, that's perfect. Where you guys, and it exists. Yeah. I believe in that wholeheartedly. You know, it exists where your guys' frequency is so on the same level. You know, where you can understand each other's strengths and flaws, the point that you hold each other up. That's how it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, a lot of situations, people exploit the flaws, you know. But I think the strengthening happens in someone knowing your weaknesses. And those moments when you look at them and you know that they just covered you because they know.
Hey, I got
that, that part. Yeah, I got you. You know,
I call it, that's beautiful. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm messing with you now. You know? But it makes sense. Yeah.
So you know, so the music thing was going with that, but like, once again, like I said, he would fly back to SA and back to my reality. You know, when I look back at it now, I was listening to my little brother, so I was like, wait, I was sleeping. I could have done so much in Zim.
Yeah.
I could have done so much. I would have even gone to radio, but I was too scared. That's why it was fear. Fear had me stuck.
You answered me. You answered a key question there because I was going to ask, what happens on those days? As much as you're saying, understand what the long term vision is, right? The reality is, you wake up in the morning, you're like, "Fuck this shit anyway. I don't want to do it."
Yeah.
Right. How you keep yourself then going, apart from the fact, okay, I believe in the dream, right? Because remember, believing in the dream and actually being able to wake up and shower and say, "Listen, I'm going outside."
Yeah.
Are like I call them two very different things.
Right? Yeah.
Because believing in the dream is motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But actually putting you on your shoes, that's like, that's willpower.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the willpower, how do you actually maneuver that thing?
I think my willpower came from this believing in the dream and this believing in myself, you know? So I always believed in myself because of the experiences I had in SA. As the thing of starting Clinch and we're all like,
congrats.
My mind only worked on that level now. I didn't work on what's there. For me, I like being around people who are thinking next. Let's create. Let's, you know, let's come up with a routine. Let's do this. So even when I was out there in Zim, my fight in my head was always, but you've done it before.
So why not?
So you can do it again. Yeah. Right? And on top of that, there's a lot of people who will never do it in their lifetime. You know? And when you, I found that when I looked at it like that, you begin to understand the gravity of the things you're doing and you appreciate it more and you look at yourself differently.
Yeah,
so wait, but what I did there is not small. It's not small, it's, you know, even though I'm speaking to people who don't know what I've done, as long as I know it, the energy inside of me is protected. You know, I remember having a fight.
That is. Sorry, when you said most people or not everyone is going to
experience it in their life.
In their life, bro. That is, that's,
it's crazy. Real.
That's fucking real.
It already,
dude,
puts you on a different level now.
Yeah.
Because most people want to experience the feeling.
When you tell someone what you're doing, etc., and they make it seem like it's nothing.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then, I mean, obviously the response will always be, you know, what have you done, etc., etc. You might not say it, right? But the reality, like you're saying, is everyone sort of like is born and they go through life. And most of the time when you go through life, you have a dream and you want to do something. Wanna.
Everyone wants to do something, yeah.
When you're gone, bro.
It never happened.
Never happened.
But at least, like,
so if you manage to do it, that's different. That puts you on
that's
a different.
That's something different. Yeah.
And I think that's also another motivational thing for me was, it was like we say, it became heavy. I think that's why it was heavy, because it also becomes pressure. Your past can be your biggest pressure because now you have to beat that.
100%.
You know. Well, that's how I used to.
That's
my competition. And they always, told people, like, I don't look at people. Even till today, I don't look at people. Because when I'm alone in my room and I'm talking to God, we see some great things, man.
Yeah.
You know, we have some great conversations.
Oh, no, the shit you say. Yeah.
We go places. Yeah. You know, so when I come out, I'm vibrating here. That's why even now, the older I get, I don't want to be out more because I don't like interacting with too many energies. You know, because unfortunately, a lot of people are takers. Take energy. Sometimes they don't even have to talk to you. They could be standing next to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the energy they're giving off.
I think on that note,
I wanted to quickly, I'll tell you something.
I have this thing called 10 minutes with God every day now. Like every day, like 10 minutes. just imagining the craziest shit I can in my life. You know what I mean? The things that I believe God has for me.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I do. Like every like 10, and then it turned into 20, and then it turned into 30 minutes, and then it turned into an hour.
Yeah.
But it started with 10 minutes, you know? Every 10 minutes, like I start like that. Like I call it God mode.
Yes. You gotta.
So, and then living your life from that plateau, from God mode, and then going into the day, that's how I want to do it. So, I appreciate that, man.
Set the tone. Yeah, like for me, there's no morning that starts without prayer.
Yeah.
It has to start with prayer, so we vibrating there, then deal with the world.
But you said something so, but because I don't think people actually understand, right, is what you said about going out and people can take from your energy even without you even realizing.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think we call it like there's energy, there's aura, there's what you want to call it, right? And then if you look at it from a more physical perspective, right, it's like someone being in the club, wherever you are, right, and people are popping bottles, and then you decide to stand there. That's also taking energy, because like these guys are literally like they're shining a light on themselves. Like
they're in a
associate yourself. It's almost like leeching.
And they can feel you.
They can feel it, 100%.
They can feel you, yeah.
So a lot of the times people think like it's just a case of but if I distance myself and I just do my own, no, bro. It gets real, and it's like I think the only person that I know or that I've heard of is like Nasty C. When they say Nasty C will, before he goes in, who was saying it?
Might have been you.
It's
the road manager. Yeah.
Like, he'll only go into the club when it's time for him to perform.
Yeah.
And as soon as he's done performing, he'll take a thing, he's out. It was you. Yeah. And I've held on to that because that's when you realize like energy is not just because I shook someone's hand and I had a conversation, bro. It's literally. It's the aura of the room, bro. It's the spirit of the room, basically.
Same way you can pick up danger, where your body can pick up danger. It's like, same thing. It's energy. You can't.
It's crazy.
Something's happening. That's why even now, I think the way I think that the hardest part was letting go because of how we started with the dancing. And because we were performing in clubs before we were even legal, you know, because we were the entertainment, 100%. You know. So at that time, you're not aware of these energy things. So you're just there. You're not even paying attention. Things can be happening, but you don't know. But obviously, the older you get, even your whole system is sensitive to a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? So I find that the hardest part was breaking away from that and also realizing that this environment was no longer serving me.
Mm.
Right? It was actually taking for me. That's when I started becoming a drunkard and just living. Man.
A demon.
Man, I was on demon mode. I was on demon mode because in that environment, that's all that's encouraged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You get in the club, the lights are dim. You're really not in the real world anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Lights flashing. Bro.
There's alcohol. There's women. There's, you know, there's just a whole lot of things. I mean, nothing good ever happens by the end of the night. You know what I mean? If you don't take yourself home early, you know, something always goes left. So when I then managed, and that took me a long time. And now I still always sit back and I'm like, I can't believe I'm this guy now. Like, I'll get a haircut just to sit at home. To feel good, and I'll sit at home, and that's it, and then be working. That's it. Whereas before you get a haircut, you want to be out, you want to be seen, and whatnot.
Feel good, so therefore feel let me good. Go out and make me.
Yeah, no, no. Now it's, and look, I'll still always enjoy the club setup, but I have to visit it. I like being a visitor rather than furniture.
Much what you're saying, man. Yeah, but yeah.
Because I mean, even when you go out, like when I go out once in a while. It feels like a new experience. Even the faces. Because remember, when you go to clubs all the time, you start seeing the same face all the time. And sometimes you guys will confuse that as knowing each other. You know, like they say, you know, familiarity breeds disrespect. You know, now you find yourself shaking.
I said that was my WhatsApp status 2 days ago.
Now you find yourself waving at someone you don't even actually know, but it's because you guys see each other in the club all the time. It actually feels rude not to wave at them. But it's like, but I don't want to be waving at you. You know, I don't know you, but you know those kind of things. So now that I'm out of that setup, I feel like my old self. Because coming up, like I said, I was the only son. I was always by myself. You know, my first best friend was my dogs, my puppies. You know, I've always been in here. You know, up until I started meeting, you know, fellow tribe.
People,
like clinch, I would say, in terms of we believe on that level.
Yeah.
I can't be trying to start a dance group with people who still have doubts. Yeah. I got to move with people who believe on
and
the same level.
It's crazy, man. Yeah.
So it's been crazy. I was saying in Zim, I actually had a back and forth with the homeboy. What's his name? I'm forgetting his name now. But he knows himself. And when, I haven't seen him since. This is it's like 2012.
Didn't go well, bro.
You know yourself.
Oh no, it didn't. Didn't go well. Didn't go well because
I'll forget you after this.
And that was like around 2012. Like I said, that's when I was in the pits. I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm like not if what I was before is not here. Mm. I'm just me, yeah. But I'm also fighting my head because I know what I am, what I can be. But my environment is not saying this is where it's going. Yeah. Everything's happening is just negative. Now imagine I'm at a club and then this guy we knew were doing the music thing, he comes and he was doing music as well. So I think he had left it. He had given up. So now he takes it upon himself to try convince me that it's never going to work out. And this, I remember we're outside the club and I remember I fought with such passion. It felt like I was fighting for my life because I knew that if I let this guy go believing that and allowing me to walk away seeming like, yeah, cool, dude, it will affect the way I believe in it afterwards. 100%. But I fought with my life with that guy to tell him that it's going to happen. I know it. And your story is not mine, bro. I can't base who I am off of what you're not. Mm. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. Mm. You couldn't do it. That's cool, bro. We have not had the same conversations with God.
Don't bring that energy to me, bro.
No.
Okay.
That's
fine. But tell me how the smart casual thing came up.
Ah, another God moment.
You've been waiting for this.
I've been waiting for that.
Another God moment.
Smart casual.
In case people don't know, this man is on Netflix and shit.
He's on Netflix.
Oh yeah, please check it out.
He's in the intro. Netflix.
Netflix. Smart casual. It's a fun film. Shout out to Zwo. Director, producer. Amazing work. Shout out to the whole team and the cast members.
Stole another man's girl, bro.
Let's see. You're giving plots away.
You're giving plots away.
Okay.
So with that, and I call it a God moment. For me, God moments are those situations where I can't explain it. Mm. You know, something good happens and I can't take credit for it. I'm like, nah, this is from somewhere else. So this was just before COVID. I can't remember. I think we were at a club or somewhere. And met a guy randomly. His name is Khalid. Shout out to Khalid. God bless, bro. Mm. And we just started talking. I realized we had similar interests. I was telling him about the music thing. He does film and whatnot. So we exchanged numbers. But we actually never spoke after that. Then COVID hit, obviously. You know, that's like 10 years, right? Then afterwards, the weird thing about the day when I got the call was, it was a Monday. I randomly woke up and I was like, I want to get a haircut. And I don't do that usually. But that day, for some reason, my little brother would tell you, he was there. I woke up and went and got a haircut. An hour after I got the haircut and I was back home, I get a WhatsApp. And it's a number I don't have on my phone, but it had his name there, Khalid. And I recognized meeting you, it was, all right, Khalid, what's up? Then he asked me, he's like, yo, man, I'm looking for Congolese actors. Mm. Do you know anyone? So I've got some Congolese friends. So I was like, no, let me ask. So I even went on Instagram and I posted and I was like, yo, looking for Congolese actors, what?
Yeah.
Literally like 20 minutes afterwards, then he sends me WhatsApp. He's like, hey, do you act? And I'm like, whoa. Because for me, that's been on the bucket list. And I did drama. Like, that's why Miss Diabru, the drama teacher.
The story about,
You know, and back then, like, it's, you know, come from the, you know, rural parents and whatnot, especially dad. You were supposed to be accountant, you know, those subjects. Mm. So even when I selected drama in high school, my dad changed it. Right. And I understand. I fully understand it. I fully get it. Right. I mean, that's a book guy for him. That's the way. But I'll still do drama. So Ms. Debra allowed me to still do drama and be a part of it. So there's a competition. I don't know if it's still around, called Raps, where it's like 40 schools from Joburg come together. It's a competition.
Okay.
Plays and then there's a winner at the end of it. And we won. And we won that year. Right. And I wasn't a drama student.
Yeah.
And I remember I was my character was, his name was Lefika. I had to even learn some Sotho. You know, I think the one line I remember is "Once opulently." You know, that was like the first line I had. You know, and it was crazy. When I look back now, it's crazy because my character it was like based on like rural setups. You know, like rural setups, a lot of like things like rape that happen in weird ways and whatnot. Yeah. So my character was one of those guys. So I actually had to act that on stage.
Shit, bro.
And pulled it off. You know, I guess we won, and that for me was like, oh, okay. Okay,
there might be something here. Yeah.
Yeah, but I never touched that again.
Yeah.
That drama thing was the last thing I ever did. That's 2006. That's 2005, sorry. Mm. That's 2005, ever again. Then I've done adverts as well. Yo, there's so many chapters. I've done adverts and all of that. So when Khalid asked me, I'm like, yeah, I wanted to dabble. And I'm ready. He's like, yeah, we're actually doing a script reading right now. Can you be in 30 minutes? I got my cut, I'm ready. That's what I was like, God, I knew it. That's why I got the haircut. You know what I mean?
Already prepared.
I'm ready. Like, prepared. Let's go. Just got dressed and, you know, went through. arrive there being handed a script, you know, you see actors that you see on TV.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whoa.
This is crazy. This is different. Yeah.
You know, but you gotta step into it, right? Yeah. And I mean, look, did the movie and whatnot, but I'm one of those people.
You got the job already.
Yeah. It was, you know, so I'm one of those people. I like, I wouldn't say like perfectionist,
yeah,
but I like feeling worthy of what I'm doing. You know, like if I come to you and say, yo, I can do this, and I charge you, if I'm charging, it's because I know I can deliver. Absolutely. You know, I don't believe in me learning on the job, the paycheck.
You want to get it done right from the get go.
Yeah, and freely, because I don't want the pressure of knowing that, yo, I've charged this guy, but I don't know if I can actually deliver. You know,
guys, so, okay, yo, let me get a refund.
Real yeah, quick. You know, things I don't like that associated to my character. You know, I'd rather know that I can do a job. So even if they had asked me to do it for free, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because the passion, I love this. And I also believe that some things, when passion is involved, they open doors.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, a lot of people lose opportunities because, oh, that one wasn't paying. But that was actually the bridge to your paying gigs. You know,
we had, what's his name? Lottie Nate to say the same type of thing. And that's the crazy thing about the chats that we have on the show is that you sort of see how everything sort of interlinks.
Yeah,
you see it based on, like, in my words, people who are on like the right path understand like the workings of how things.
Yeah, there's a frequency.
It's not a thing of shit. Okay, you want me to be in this show? Pay me the most.
Yeah,
because the opportunity is there. The people, the other actors who are watching you, the directors, producers, etc. Now look at you like, oh shit, this guy actually is. And you might not have won then.
Yeah.
Monetary.
It connects,
100%.
And you later on you'll see how it connected to that show that you thought meant nothing. It reminds me of when I was managing the boys in high school. I was just us at high school. We had a show in Four Ways.
Yeah,
got there. There wasn't a lot of people. You know, I could see the guys were down and whatnot. And I told them, I was like, look, it doesn't matter if it's 5 people in the crowd or 1,000. Just go do it because you don't know who's in that 5.
100%.
Yeah.
And it was true because in the next week, Metro FM, I think it was DJ Naves.
Yeah.
He played our song on radio. It was the first time we've heard that song on radio, you know? And that's because he was there. He was part of the 5 who was there.
That's insane.
You know, now imagine, and I told him, imagine we had said no to that gig because there's not enough people. Who are you?
100%.
And also now you got 5 more that you didn't have before.
Who is the audience? You also don't know, buddy.
You don't know. Yeah. Just go do your thing. I think, like with a lot of things, ego kills a lot of things for people.
It does.
You know? Even the current industry, the way it operates, and now I'm kind of in it. You know, I wouldn't say I'm in it because I feel like I'm operating for my own.
It's okay. Stay humble. It's okay.
Yeah.
Stay
corner.
Stay humble.
No, in terms of the way I operate.
Stay humble.
The way I operate. I love people. I would love to be, but I also understand that this industry is very shady.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you know, I'm from a genuine place. Like I said,
you're a very genuine person, man.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, bro. And I'll test that too. My background, my roots are rural. I grew up watching, I remember when I had a car accident when I was a kid. I remember watching my grandmothers crying. And these are people you're not seeing all the time. You see them once a year. I remember as a kid looking, I broke my leg. You know, we had a car accident, broke my leg. But the way they were crying, I felt like that's the day like empathy in me was opened up.
Because it
was
like, bro,
what?
That's like,
that was so real, 100%. You know? And from then on, that's where I come from. And also even the year in grade 5. And just generally how we are, even a lot of people that I know. I like to move in genuine energy, you know, because I feel we can all gain a lot.
That's
from
how
that
we connected.
You know,
brother, like insane.
Genuine shit, man. And like
How we met.
Yeah.
Pila performed, you were hyped, we spoke. Hey, I got a park. Let's do it, bro. Let's
jump on. Yeah.
Let's, you know, now we're here.
Most people, yeah, wouldn't do that. Like, and that's part of the reason why we've carried on as long as we have carried on.
Yeah.
The fact that you are someone that reads such things. And we also like, you'll be like, oh shit, if they see it, more people are going to see it, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, man.
Would you say, do you think, I mean,
yeah,
like humility aside?
Yeah.
I want
to
ask.
I'm not afraid to talk my shit.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid to talk my shit.
Talk your shit.
You know the value that you bring, right? Would you sort of think that, I mean, perception, now I'm talking from the audience's side, right?
Yeah.
You will get to a point where people say, oh shit, because he has changed.
Oh, that. Not worried about that at all. Do you know what I went through to be here?
Thank you for bringing out the Kanye in you. Because
you know, that's real.
People miss it. People think like, and you know, we used to say it, we said it like one or twice, one or two times. To a few people, we're just like, this is the most authentic that you will see us. Not that we'll be, that you will see us.
Because
you never know, like, you don't know, firstly, you don't know where we're trying to get to. And what we need to do to get to that point, right? So people are so quick, respect to everyone, but you know, people are so quick to be like, ah, this person has changed, he's not the same, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't know what I was doing at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
While you were sleeping.
You don't know my story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know my story. You don't know the years, bro.
Yeah, bro. You don't know.
Now you have an ego. I don't have an ego. I know that I worked for this shit and I'm going to make sure.
I am.
Yeah.
You know the doubts.
I am. 100%. Like, there's no other way to say it.
You know, someone said, yo, this ain't the shit. Or, you know, just all that shit. You carry it in your soul, bro.
Yeah.
Like, no, bro, are you, is this really it? And then when it starts kicking, then you be like, you refer back to that, and you be like, remember when you said it's not going to kick?
Yeah.
And now it's kicking? Now we're app nominated, but whatever.
Oh, isn't what I told you so moment. That's what I was talking about, that the brother that I fought with outside the club.
Yeah,
right? And I still, I haven't seen him since that. And he's still around, still see him on social media, but I wanted face to face. And for me, saying it to him is not an I told you so. Is to hopefully unlock him to chase his
100%. So no one can actually tell you that.
Like, bro, we can do this. 100%. You know, I'm not here to, I'm not here to stunt on anyone. Like, even I was, and I think, like I said, the journey is beautiful when I look at it, because I feel even that early taste of fame helped me, because we got a lot of things out of my system. Right? I sit here now, bro, I don't give a damn about the lights.
Or
you know, if they come through, I know I can make it look good, you know, but it has to be for a purpose. It's not just for me to have a face out there. Oh, I'm walking with Pila, put me in camera. I don't need to be on there. You know, there's a lot of things with Pila, even the content shoot, I don't need to be in there. I've elevated past that. For me, it's childish.
Yeah.
We did that when we were in high school. You know, you're cool guys and whatnot.
People are like, oh, you're Mr. Popular.
Yeah.
Fuck being popular now, bro. It's like, you know what you... what you
and want. I also fell into that trap of people, you've changed. Or I, for a good decade, I was fighting with that as well. And because that now messes with your confidence. Because you have to be foolproof. That's why you have your Kanye's, your Cristiano Ronaldo's. Right. You have to believe on such a level to be able to bounce all that stuff off and reach those heights.
100%.
Right? If you take Cristiano Ronaldo's confidence away, you do not have Cristiano Ronaldo. You don't.
Take Kanye's confidence, bro.
You do not have Kanye West.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's how much you're supposed to believe in yourself. Not to say go out and be rude, but I'll tell you that I won't come to you and be telling you I'm the shit or whatever. But if you come test me, right? Not even that I'll tell you, I like usually proving in action.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
And I probably won't even say to you and see you next time, but you, I'll look at you and you'll know. Because you know the last conversation we had.
Yeah.
And you see where we're at now, right? So I feel like that period helped me get away for that. And I realized that, no, my purpose is deeper than that.
Yeah,
it's deeper than being, getting the likes. It's deeper than people talking, knowing my name, 100%. Fame. And as we can see now, fame is not really delicious. Now it was back then when you didn't have access to be famous.
Yeah.
But now everyone can just be famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And now everyone's in your business.
Bro.
Overnight.
Like you told about the Drake and the Doro. I'm like, what the, you know,
no, bro, it's done. I'll give you the quickest example to that, right? It's like this one day I get to work and someone brings out this hot tar. That chick.
The hot tar. Yeah.
Firstly, I don't know what this shit is.
Yeah.
But then you go on to TikTok and whatnot. Next thing, she's everywhere. Bro. She's
on
news channels. She's on overnight, right? And this is where I realized, I think we had the conversation outside. I'm just like, you know, when you're not driven by a greater purpose, you'll take anything. Because now you said a phrase, all of a sudden now you want to
talk your shit.
Right?
Doing what?
Doing. all of a sudden now you need media to keep you going, because all of a sudden, and again, I'm not disrespecting her.
Yeah. It's the reality.
Next thing she's there, it's like, oh, the Hawk Tour girls on stage with the country. It's like, but what is it that you actually bring in, and what was your actual vision? The thing is, the sad thing about like social media and the reality of today is that they see this girl doing it, and now what happens?
Everyone's chasing that moment.
So no one's actually building anymore. It's more a case of, how do I actually capture in that moment?
Yeah.
Just so I can say, I used to be. And that scares me the most, because like when you build a brand, bro, it's like every brand that everyone like sort of associates with right now, from way back, these guys took years and years and years building on it. And you don't realize it. You hold it every day.
Yeah.
People thought, oh, Apple, because it just got hot now.
That
these guys have been doing it since 1980 something.
Bro,
they've been in it. Bro.
That's actually, even with me, I'm not much of a reader.
Yeah.
You know, But during my downtime, I would call it my downtime, the decade of, like, when you're talking about depression, you know, when I was about, I was going to add in the, like, finding with depression with a lot of people, you don't realize you're depressed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Especially with a lot of backgrounds for some of us where even the family won't pick up that it's depression. Yeah, you know, it's just, he's naughty. He's what,
but
you know.
He's actually depressed.
He's actually depressed. So I went through a lot, like a good decade of that, where you're just becoming a loser, a loser, a loser, a loser. And you don't know how to stop it.
Until they want to fuck with the winner.
Look, and that transition, getting yourself out of that.
Yeah, that's difficult.
For me, for me, it was, you know, crying to my dad and saying, I need help. And it was weird because not only is it Zim parent, I'm in Zim. So the whole community is not even about
like,
that.
Yo, bro.
It's like, what is that? But yes. I literally, I went out to my dad's and I cried because I knew this was not, I don't believe I was ever going to take it there, right? But I was just so frustrated and so stuck, but I knew that there's something that needs to be unlocked in me to go. And I'll kid you not, I think I did like 2 sessions and I'm very open to flowing. You know, I feel good. I'm someone who's never had a problem with even crying because I enjoy the feeling afterwards, you know?
Because black men cry as well.
Yeah.
Black men cry, Tyrese, shut up.
Yeah. Because you know how relieving it is to cry.
Bro,
it's not even about the reason. Yeah, just bro. Releasing because you're holding up so much.
Yeah.
Just let go and breathe and go. The tears will dry, move on. You wipe your face.
It's done.
To hold that in, that's like being... What's it called? Constipated for life.
Yeah.
There's people who've been constipated for life with emotion.
Dude, us, you know, as men.
Sorry, guys. I want to say,
I know it's women's, man. No, very, actually, it's not when
off.
This drops.
I'm going to be very off right now, right? But I had a moment, right? Sorry. We'll probably edit this out because I'm editing.
Let's go.
I'm going to the constipation chat, right?
Yeah. Talking about the real one?
Now I'm talking about the real.
Yeah.
Talk your talk.
This one Sunday, bro, I swear to you guys, I went through hell. When I talk about I went through hell, right? This is what I get what you mean in terms of just letting things out. when I say the level of constipation that takes you to like the emergency room.
Yeah.
That's what it was, right? And after that, right? After that, because we left there around 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. When I got home, I wasn't thinking of sleep. I wasn't thinking of worry. I wasn't thinking. I felt like a new person, bro. I felt like I can fucking just do anything right now, right? And I feel like that's what, like,
that's
that emotion of
that same thing.
It's exactly, bro. Once you let everything out, bro, it's almost like it's a new book. It's a new page, or not even a new page, like an actual new book. Where
let's
you
start.
I can rewrite.
Let's start.
You know everything.
Yeah.
So I don't think like. Sometimes, I mean, we make fun of certain things, right? I mean, I use this example.
Yeah.
Might be embarrassing, but you don't understand
but it's how real.
It sort of changes the way you...
You think.
Yeah. Because the example you gave now, I think for me, that's a really practical and nice one.
Yeah.
In terms of that, everyone goes through like constipation, whatever. That kind of, they can identify that. So then when you put in the context of emotionally, it's exactly the 100%. Same thing. When you let go, then you can start again and breathe. You're not always working from... Yeah, and also you're stacking.
Yeah.
Because there's still more problems coming. So that means you're not releasing these. So that means you're just stacking. Instead of releasing, deal with this. You know?
Yeah.
Then go. And I think that's another thing. My dad used to hate it as a kid. You know, obviously, you know, boys don't cry. But I used to cry a lot as a kid. Like, I was very... I've always been in touch.
Yeah,
100%. You know? But I never felt bad about it. Whoever went through a stage, I wanted to hide it. You know, I was cool with it. You know?
Yeah.
And now that I'm older, I realize, like, no, man, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I also not say just be... tearing up everywhere at anything. You know, but allow yourself to, even if you're going to do it alone, you know, just go through it, release that and work with what's next. So man.
All right.
Life.
Leave us something inspirational for the kids, man. Like,
sadly,
we're coming to the end.
Sadly.
Yeah, we're coming to the end.
But more, bro.
Something inspirational
for the kids, man. This is our preacher as fuck segment.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. Straight from your heart, man, tell them what they need to know.
I think number one, believe. Find that thing that just sets your heart on fire.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what society around you thinks of that thing, you know, if it's rated in society or whatnot. If that thing sets your heart on fire, it gives your life purpose. And when your life has purpose, there's direction to where you're going. You know where you're going. You know, because I mean, life, you start and, you know, you headed there.
Yeah.
But you know you're headed there. But if you don't know where you're going, where you're trying to go, when you wake up every morning, what's the point? You know, that's when you end up the drinking and the smoking. Like I said, I'm saying this not as someone just who read a book. That's I don't like reading books a lot. You know, I read autobiographies and stuff. Yeah. You know, seeing the Steve Jobs thing, Nelson Mandela, and a couple of others. But I think firsthand experience is always the best.
The best experience.
And that's why I speak like this. I'm not speaking from a book. It's myself and how I watch. And I'm not saying that my way is the only way, you know. Mm. But if you need a way, you could try this way.
That way.
Right? believe. Passion, man. Like, you just got. And also, when I look at, like, the industry right now, don't chase the fame. Mm. Or the money. Yes, we need it. We need that stuff. But I'll tell you now that if you chase the purpose, the money will follow the purpose.
Mm. Come on.
Because it's too real and rare.
Mm.
In this world that we live, even if you look at, like, celebrities and whatnot, we all know certain celebrities because there's only one of them. But there's billions of people here. But we only know, as a collective, we only know a few in this world. Mm. Right? Mm. Those are the ones who dared enough to follow what they are and live in what they are. You know, nobody's praising copies.
No.
It's all originals, right? The originals are the ones that leave the lasting impact. And personally for me, like I said, I grew out of the whole fame thing. I know I can. There's a lot of things I could do, you know, for the clout and the attention. I don't do, right? Because that doesn't feed me, right? And I'm not talking money, like my soul. Mm. It doesn't feed my soul. It's all about purpose now. It's all about legacy, leaving an impact. Hence why you'd see me align with someone like Pilar Dlozi, why we would align, right? Mm. And that's another thing I'll tell the kids right now. It's the same thing I used to say about Oliver Mtukudzi. I'll say you could raise your child on Oliver Mtukudzi music because there's so much wisdom in that music, right? About life and how to deal with people and whatnot.
R.I.P.
Pilar Dlozi is on the same boat with that, right? Mm. And I think what's beautiful with that is he's also another testament in terms of inspiration. If he was not waking up every day and walking in that street and blocking out that thing of, oh, people are seeing him in the street playing, whatnot. We would have never met, right? If he was sitting at home with his talent, saying, I can sing, someone just needs to give me a chance. He went out, left home, KZN, Richards Bay, went to Durban, bought a ticket from basking in the streets of Durban to here. He slept on the streets and whatnot. He's here now.
I didn't even know what basking was until you told me about it, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta... And once again, it's because he believed in that one thing and he didn't let it go. Because I'll tell you, every great story or every great person, their story has seasons.
Mm. Mm.
There's not one person who's great, it was just there. There's seasons. Even the richest person you know, whatever, there is this. So don't let your downtime rob you of your uptime.
Determine your uptime.
Woo! You know what I mean? Yes, that's what I can say. And
pause.
And this is the energy that I hope that we all carry around. Like, when I speak like this, I'm hoping that, you know, it sparks this energy in someone else to go spark in someone else. Because imagine the whole world moved like this.
Like that.
Like this. There would be less hate because everyone's about their purpose.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of hate because people don't know what they're doing. They're dealing with a lot of earthly things. Guys, we are spiritual beings. Mm. Our purpose is way bigger than iPhone came after we were here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The concept of a human came
way
after. It was
based on this.
The evolution of the world is because of us, but we cannot continue to evolve if we're blocking free thinkers who are taking us to the next level.
Yeah.
So don't just hate on something because you don't understand. Step back and watch it happen.
Shout out!
I'm gonna say it. I wanna say it. I'm waiting for the clapping because it took so damn long. So damn. This, in my mind, will be the flagship episode.
Speak louder.
Anyone who wakes up in the morning saying, "I want to do something." If you don't listen to this episode, you've missed out.
I was actually thinking it. I was like, "Dude, your level of belief is off the charts."
My bro,
like,
it's not even belief, bro. It's a level of doing,
like,
bro.
Yes,
it's, like, it's beyond
the brain, everything. Like, this is a manifestation of it, but the level of the belief, not just the belief, like Dululu, let's just stay in it, but Dululu to working it out and it manifesting. That's it, like, bless, yeah, man. Like, your bless level of belief, it's something that I have not experienced on the podcast ever. It's levels, man.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, man. I thank you for coming through, bro. Like,
this is my first podcast, by the way.
It's your first podcast.
Bro, we're not anywhere close to being done.
You know, I felt like even now, I felt like there's 3 more hours to go. But
bro, I felt like I needed to pee so badly, right? I've only stood up once to go pee.
Yeah.
And when it I disappeared. Felt like
this, right? But and today I was lived. Just like, I'm not leaving because I don't want to miss
it. For me, it disappeared.
Eh?
It disappeared. Like, you know, man, your level of belief is like hectic, man. Like, it's something that you rarely encounter, you know, the level that you have of belief and not just in yourself, but in people. And the frequency that you operate on, man, is unheard of, bro. Because honestly, a lot of people are just on their own shit.
Yeah.
But you, man, you're just on another type of shit. And that's hence why you're like on our episode 2.
Mm.
Before we had even had 10 subscribers of APFA nominated podcast. And now we're branching into different shit. But you saw that before, man. Yeah, like, man. Like we had that vibe.
Yeah,
on the app for thing. I hope we don't win, right?
So that no, like, get out.
Let's fight. They nominated, but they missed out.
We'll come back
one day. You guys will come back.
If it's not APFA, it's SAPG. If it's not SAPG, it's SAMHSA, bro.
Oh, okay. Just say one more thing.
Yeah,
with what you also, Leon, recognize the signs because when you are down, or like the example of a dark room.
Yeah. Right.
That keyhole, that light that comes from there, hold on to that.
Yeah.
Forget about the rest of the room. Hold on to that because that's what you believe in. That's what you're trying to call.
Sir.
You know, if you focus on the darkness of the room, you miss out on that, the possibilities of getting through that or whatever, you know.
You'll lose it.
Look, keep track of the signs because the signs are always there. Mm. The universe, God, is always sending you signs just to let you know that you're on the right track. The problem is that a lot of us, and I went through it as well, where you're just waiting for the final.
Yeah,
but there's always small signs that let you know, nah, you're on it. You're on it. Just keep,
man.
Just keep.
If this didn't happen, then you wouldn't be on the right track. You know,
and
but
trust,
the fact that
trust you're crazy.
Yeah,
trust you're crazy. The world is what it is because someone's crazy enough to believe in what we're doing right now.
Mm. Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, so that is a real moment.
Bars, man. I love this. This is the type of episodes that. Feed me, you know what I mean?
That's what we're here for.
Yeah,
that's what we're here for, man.
I love it, man. And we got to get you back. I know there's a whole lot. I know you've got a whole lot of things to unpack.
Anytime.
Yeah. And yeah, man. But at least now we are a quarter away.
episode 31, maybe we'll just push it
episode
to like, know,
maybe 40 50 something
we can
unpack some more and then you know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
But I love it, man. Shout out to you for coming through, man. Shout
Thank
out to you for
me,
just blessing us, man. And yeah, man.
I can never get the sound. My hands are too soft. So I have to go for this one.
This is how we do it. This is the ladies. But man, shout out to you, man, for coming through and for blessing us and man and just connecting with us the way you did, man. So, like
you've been doing, man.
Yeah, this was just a fast one, bro. I hit you up like last night, bro.
Yeah.
And you were on it, bro. So shout out to you, man. Much love to you.
Sure.
And let's
Until
do this
next
again.
Time. Until next
let's
time.
Let's do this again.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Babegazi by Pilajozi.
Stream.
It's
stream,
out
stream,
now.
Stream,
Go stream,
stream
it.
Stream.
Babegazi. Pilajozi. I promise you, remember the name.
Yes, sir. Shout
and
out.
We out.
And we out. Let's go.
No. Many more conversations. Is the toilet working?
Yeah.
Ah, that was great. No, but I told you, from the conversation we were having before, just the flow.